back to Genesis 32. Genesis 32. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, thank you for this hour. Enable me to rightly divide the word of truth, thy word of truth. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Help us to, from our hearts, rejoice in God our Savior. Thank you for saving us, Lord. Thank you for saving our souls and making us whole. Thank you. Help us this morning be with us. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. Wrestling with God, part two. This is part two. I'm going to recap some of what I said last week, but basically we'll pick up in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there was a man that wrestled with him. But there comes a time when God is going to save a sinner. He's going to cross that sinner's path, and the conflict is going to be between God and that sinner. There's going to be a real struggle. A real wrestling. It's a spiritual wrestling. This is what's going on here. There's a real spiritual wrestling going on between the Lord Jesus Christ and Jacob. One of his own. The Lord's child. And everyone whom he saves is going to experience this to some degree. I mean, we're not, you know, you get in trouble when you start talking about experiences, because everybody starts measuring their experience to someone else's experience. The Lord deals with his children individually. Individually. You know, growing up in a home, we have seven of us kids growing up. We all had our own personalities, different personalities, and you have to deal with them, and some are more tender than others, and some are more difficult than others, and they've got to be dealt with a little more difficultly. But here, the Lord deals with Jacob. Now, in this narrative, it starts out with Jacob and Esau. But what's the focus of it? It's Jacob and the Lord. It's the Lord Jesus Christ wrestling with Jacob. It's really not Jacob and Esau. It's the Lord dealing with Jacob. But it starts out here with Jacob and Esau. Jacob sends messengers to Esau. Then he hears that Esau's coming with 400 men, and it stresses him out, scares him out of his mind. And so he starts dividing up his possessions, and he sends them over ahead of him, and he's trying to appease his brother with presents. I told you last week, we can't appease for our sins. We can't appease God. We cannot appease God for our sins. That's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that has what it takes to appease God. And that's perfect righteousness. That's perfect obedience. That's his death. That's his blood. He has what it takes. We don't have that. We don't have it. But the Lord does. But when I looked at this last week, I thought this. Esau is not Jacob's real problem. He's not his real problem. God's his real problem. He's got to deal with God. You see, God met him at Bethel, and he revealed himself above the ladder. And that ladder, as we saw, was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a picture of Christ. But now he's going to deal with Jacob personally. See, the first time he told him what he's going to do, you know, he gave the covenant. The blessing. But now it's a real dealing, struggling with God over a conviction of sin, what I am, what I've done, my unbelief. There's that real struggle that the Lord brings when he saves us from our sins. And every sinner is going to learn this. that my real problem is with God. The Lord said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." What was Jacob saying? He was saying he's afraid of Esau. I fear Esau. He's stressed out of his mind. Esau. Esau's not my problem. Esau's not my problem. My sin and God, God Almighty, that's my problem. And how my sins are going to be put away. How's the Lord going to be one with me? How's he going to deal with me in mercy and grace? Because I've got this multitude of sins. And we've got to deal with that. And I think this is what's going on here. This is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual wrestling match going on between the Lord and Jacob. Turn over to Hosea. We get a little more light on this in Hosea. In Hosea chapter 12, listen to this. And we see a little bit more in here. Let me read to you verses 1 through 6. Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways. You see, he's speaking here of the children of Jacob, but he's talking about Jacob. Well, Jacob's a supplanter. And he will punish Jacob at his visit upon Jacob. According to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. Jacob, he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel, the one he's wrestling with. He's referencing back to this period in Genesis. He had power over the angel, and he prevailed. He wept. Jacob wept. And he made supplication unto him. He's praying. He's begging. Number one, I think he's begging for mercy. You ever beg for mercy? Have you ever really begged for mercy? I know in our day that we live in, all the preaching that goes on out there, they make this matter of salvation look so easy. It's just an easy believism. There's a struggle here. He's crying and he's making supplication unto him, unto the angel, that is, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I picture in my mind Jacob on his knees, and he's got a hold of the Lord's robe, and he's hanging on and he won't let go. He will not let go. And this struggle is going on all night. It's going on all night. He made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore, turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually. Wait on him. Begging for mercy and wait on him for mercy. Trust him. But there's a little more insight to what was going on that night. Jacob is crying and begging. He's making supplication for mercy for his life, for the life of his family. He knows that if the Lord doesn't bless him, if he doesn't stand for him, that Esau's going to kill him. He knows that. So Jacob in this chapter, he tries to, in verses 13 through 21, he tries to appease his brother with those presents. And he's unable to sleep there in verse 22. And he rose up that night, took two of his wives and his women servants and his 11 sons, and he took them out of the way of harm. He put them out of the way of harm. He sends them over that brook to safety. And then he took them and he sent them over the brook. And then it says in verse 24, and this is where I really wanted to come to, Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. I wish we could learn, as those of us who preach, and I think those who do preach the gospel, they know that The work of salvation, the work of conviction is of God. It's not me trying to make you feel bad. It's of God. Only God can reach into your heart and give real conviction of sin. But Jacob was left alone. He came with many earthly possessions, didn't he? He was rich when he left his father-in-law. He was rich, but now there he stands alone. No earthly possessions with him. He's just there, just himself. He's just by himself. This is where the Lord brings us if he's going to save us. Like Jacob, we are at his mercy. We are at his mercy. Jacob knew he was at the Lord's mercy. He knew it. He's not at Esau's mercy. He's at the Lord's mercy. That's whose mercy he's at. You know, there comes a time when it's you and the Lord. It's just you and him. Struggling. Wrestling. Spiritual wrestling. Conviction of sin. And one thing for sure here, Jacob cannot manipulate God. And that's one of the things you realize. You can't manipulate God. Jacob was a supplanter. He manipulated his father-in-law, his father. He deceived his father and Laban, and he manipulated Laban, but not God. Not God. This is where it all falls out. This is where we stand before God stripped. This is who we are. And the Lord knows it, and you know it. You know it. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. I put on this caption. I usually put captions over top of a scripture. I put, this is boot camp. This is spiritual boot camp. God is going to deal with Jacob now personally. Not just a revelation of a blessing, but now it's a revelation of Jacob. It's a revelation of Jacob. You see, the Lord must empty us in order to fill us. He's got to empty us of ourselves. He's got to bring, literally now, he brings us to the end of ourselves. To where we have no more strength. We have no more excuses. Here we are. Here we are. This man wrestling here is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is one of his pre-incarnate appearances. No doubt about that. And whoever said that salvation was easy has not been saved. It's not easy. There's a real struggle. There's a real wrestling with God in the process of being saved. You know, right now, we who believed, we are being saved. We are being saved. And we still struggle, don't we? There's still a struggling. Sometimes more than at others. There's still a wrestling. But Jacob wrestled with Christ till the breaking of the day. This is not a little skirmish. This is a life or death match. You know that. If God saved you, you know that. It's not just a little skirmish. It's a life or death matter. When we realize that God does not have to save us, Jacob is no better than Esau that he's about to face. He's no better. And when you realize that God does not have to save you, he does not have to save me. That's salvation's of the Lord. It's of his sovereign mercy and grace. That's what it's of. It's terrifying when you realize that. It's terrifying. Have you ever considered, and I considered before saying this, but have you ever considered, and I'm not just saying this to you, there's several people who listen to this. Have you ever considered that God might not save you? Has that ever really weighed heavy on your heart? God might not, it did me. The most frightening, and I'm saying this from experience, the most frightening thing I've ever had to endure, that God might not save me. I was told by several different ones, the Lord wants to save you. You know, that Arminian junk. Oh, how he wants to save you. Then I heard the gospel and I realized he might not. I thought he might not. There was a time I thought he wouldn't save me. I really believed he wasn't going to do it. It scared me to death. For the first time, I had a right fear of God. Jacob, I don't know what all went on there that night in the darkness. You know, he wrestled with him there in darkness. And I don't know what all went on there, but I do know this. Jacob really understood not only who the Lord is, but who and what he is. He understood it. I'm a cheat. I'm a supplanter. I'm flesh. I'm weak. Unless the Lord saves me, I'm not going to be saved. Lord, if you don't save me, I'm not going to be saved. I'm going to be lost. That's frightening. That's frightening to a sinner who understands that God can save them, him or her, or damn them, one or the other. That's frightening. And Jacob wrestled with the Lord all night. He was not going to let him go. He's not going to let him go. But I tell you what, Jacob is right where he needs to be, alone with God. Alone with God. He has no one to call on but God. He's right where he needs to be. You see, Jacob, me, and you do not need a helper. I don't need a helper. I need a Savior. I need one to save me. I need one that is mighty to save. I need one that's stronger than me and stronger than Esau. I need one that can do it. I don't need a helper. I need, you know, like Jacob, we are in a mess, are we? We are born into a mess. We are born a mess. We are. We've offended God's law. We are a bunch of supplanters. And we need someone like the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. Not ask me if he can do it. Not try to do it. Not help me. I need him to do it. Lord, save me or I perish. It's one or the other. One or the other. And so Jacob wrestles on. When he saw that he prevailed not, that is the angel, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he saw he prevailed not against him, it's not that the Lord could not overcome Jacob. Oh, no, but I tell you what, this does show the power that a child of God has with God. He let Jacob hang on. The Lord let him hang on. In fact, listen, and this is encouraging when you really look back and you understand the struggle. You understand this. He helped me to hang on. Job said this, Job 23:6, will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he will put strength in me. The one hand, the Lord is wrestling with him. The other hand, he's giving Jacob the strength to hang on. When you don't realize that when you're going through a real conviction of sin. I mean, I know what I'm talking about. You believe the Lord's not going to save you, but you can't let go. You know He's your only hope. And now I realize, while He's convicting me and wrestling with me, or in a spiritual sense, at the same time He's upholding me. He's putting strength in me to keep coming and keep believing and keep calling and keep crying. He puts strength in you. You're His child. He's not going to let you go. Jacob's his. Esau, Jacob have I loved, Esau I've hated. He didn't do that for Esau. He did it for Jacob. He did it for Jacob. And then the Lord touched there in that verse. He touched the hollow of his thigh. And yet Jacob still wouldn't let go. He wouldn't let go. He said, I'm not going to let go. You bless me. But no way. You ever see a child hanging on to his father's foot and he's dragging him like this? Dragging that child along. Jacob's hanging on. I mean, he may be dragging along, but he's hanging on. He says, I'm not letting you go. You see, Christ was his only hope against sure death by his brother. It's sure death. And you know that. I tell you, this is, when God saves a sinner, that sinner knows, apart from Christ, it's sure death. One of the songs that when back at 13th Street, I would ask Mike to sing often, you know, whenever I could, or, and when I was Pastor Hurricane Road, I had him to sing, "Give Me Christ or Else I Die." I love that song because it just speaks to me. It speaks to me, "Give Me Christ or Else I Die." Christ is my only hope of standing before God accepted. You know also here, Jacob was at his strongest when he was at his weakest. When he was at his weakest. Paul said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." When you and I are at our weakest, spiritually, that's when we are at our strongest. That's when we hang on to Christ and Christ alone. And then we have here the wound. He touched. It's only a touch. That's all he did. He just touched him. That's all. He touched the hollow of his thigh, his strongest part. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled. As he wrestled with him. He touched his thigh and he's crippled. He's crippled now. God said, "I wound and I heal." First, I wound. He's got to wound us. He's got to really wound us before he heals us spiritually. And here he wounds Jacob. And I know this. You cannot wrestle with God, not know it, and there not be evidence of it in your life, in your character, in your walk. Your walk, I promise you, your walk, my walk. If God has truly, spiritually touched us, our walk will be different. It will not be the same. And you'll notice here, even with this crippled leg, Jacob wrestled on. Job said this. Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he take everything I have." And he did. Job didn't have anything left. He was sitting there just scraping those sores. But he says, "Though he slay me, I'll trust him. I'll trust him." And that'll be proven too. The Lord will bring every one of his children to this point. That there's no other hope anywhere else but in the Lord. He might slay me in this life, so to speak. He might take everything I have. He may yet take everything you have. Henry used to say things like that, and I thought, I wish you wouldn't say that. Seriously, it scared me. As a young man, it scared me. It did. And I've experienced some of that. And the Lord will try his own, and you're going to learn that though he takes everything I have, I'm going to trust him. By his grace, I'm going to trust him. When your life is at stake, you'll not let go till you have the blessing of salvation. You won't let go. Like that Syrophoenician woman, remember? She came to the Lord. He never gave her one word of encouragement. The fact that there's a wrestling match going on here tells me that the Lord has not given him any encouragement. He's trying his faith. He's revealing. There are things revealed to Jacob in this darkness and wrestling with him. And it's evident to me that through the wrestling, that the Lord has not given him any encouragement to write off. Or there wouldn't be a wrestling match. You know, and you know when he met him at Bethel, and he revealed the covenant, his blessings, and you know, all that went on there, there was no wrestling. But now there is. And he's not encouraging Jacob. But you know why? Because Jacob is so afraid of his brother, he's forgotten the Lord. He's forgotten the covenant. He's forgotten the blessings. Remember there at the beginning of this chapter, there was two hosts of angels. There was two hosts of angels that had accompanied Jacob. They were watching over and following Jacob and protecting him. Do we not have the same? We have the same. He's given His angels charge over you as He did His own Son. God, speaking of God the Father, giving the angels charge over Christ. But He also gives them charge over us, and yet we go about so fearful, so afraid. But like that Syrophoenician woman, you know, he didn't give her any encouragement, but he could not run her off. She wouldn't let go. She wouldn't let go. No one whom the Lord saves will let go, because He won't let him let him go. He won't let him let him go. Let him go. And here's the test. And he said, the angel said, the Lord said, let me go. Let me go. But if you can, you never had a hold of Him. If you can, you never had Him. Let me go, for the day breaketh. The day breaketh. It's time. Listen. The Lord has met him, wrestled with him, made some things known to him. And Jacob cried. We read over Hosea. He cried and made supplication. And there's this real spiritual struggle going on. But the Lord says here, the day breaketh. Let me go. It's time for Jacob now to be about his business. You see, life goes on. We have a work to do. We have a life to live on this earth according to the purpose of God. And Jacob says, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. I mean, I think he had what I'd call a death grip on him. Because he knew Esau could justly kill him. But here's a real display of faith, and the Lord's going to bring this out of us. He's going to bring the act of faith out. You know, he's going to bring it out of his children. I'll not let thee go. I won't do it. I'll not let you go. Song of Solomon. Listen to this. I wrote this down. Let me see what it is. Song of Solomon 3, chapter 3, verse 4. Well, let me go to verse 1 and I'll read through verse 4. This is the Shulamite. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchman that goeth about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from there. I can see real conviction of sin in those first few verses. But it was but a little that I passed from then. But I found him. The Lord's not going to convict you. There's not going to be a real conviction of sin and you not find Christ to be your all in all. But I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go. Not this time. I would not let him go. I held him, would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chambers of her that conceived me. Oh, I tell you, if you ever get a hold of Christ, if God ever convicts you of sin, you get a hold, lay hold of Christ, you're not going to let him go. It's your only hope. Your only hope. And verse 27, we have a name change. This is what the Lord's been bringing him to. He's been bringing him to this place. All this time he's been what? Jacob. Supplanter. And that's been his life. That's been his life. He's been a supplanter all his life. Been a cheat all his life. But now a name change is coming because of nature. We have a new nature given to us. And there's a name that goes with that new nature. There's a new name given. You know what it is? Sons of God. Sons of God. And he said to him, verse 27, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. The Lord asked Jacob his name. He's going to make Jacob confess. My name is Jacob. back in those days, they were given names that meant something. They had a meaning behind it. You know, now we give names that's just cute, or, you know, or just whatever pops into your mind or whatever. It really has no name to it. Not for most people. Some do, but not for many. You don't name them because of this, what it means. Jacob knew what his name meant. Remember another place he says, "Thou worm, Jacob. Thou maggot, Jacob." Jacob was made to confess that he is a supplanter by nature. He's a cheat. And he lived up to his name. He knew that. We must own who and what we are. Everyone whom the Lord saves is a Jacob. You know that? Everyone. A cheat and a supplanter. Everyone. But listen, Jacob have I loved. Jacob have I loved. And here's the blessing in verse 28. "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, Israel." That nation over there in the Middle East, that nation that we know as Israel, started right here. They got their name by God. God gave them that name, Israel. "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." The scripture says that we have been made kings and priests unto God. You realize, I know we don't. We don't realize really what power we have with God in Christ. He said, as a prince, you have power with God and men, and you've prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, "Well, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. What's your name?" And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name, which know your business?" The best thought I had with this is this. Jacob didn't need to know any more than what the Lord revealed. If he had said, he could have said the Lord of hosts, the angel could have. He also could have said Jesus Christ. He could have said that. But he said, you know, he said, right now, you know enough. You know enough. And he blessed him there. He blessed him there. One day we will look back on our life, and in these struggles and these convictions of sin and these struggles, we are going to say, the Lord blessed me there. I can look back in those times and it just terrified me that the Lord wouldn't save me. He blessed me. He blessed me there. Thank God I realized that. Thank God you realized that. You look back and say, he blessed me there. Only those whom God saves has a real conviction of sin. Nobody else does. Nobody else does. They might feel bad over something because they have a conscience that the law is written on, but they don't have a real conviction of sin. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. He knew he's going to live now. He knew it. And then he says here, and I'm going to close. "And he passed over Peniel, the sun rose up on him, and he halted upon his thigh." Jacob's walk had changed. He met God and was never the same since. Let me read this real quick in Matthew 18:8. "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt and maimed," crippled. You know, everybody wants physical healing, don't they? That's what most religion sells them on, physical healing. I want to be healed. You want to be healed? Spiritually, yeah. Physically, it doesn't really matter. "And the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh to this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank." We see here a great need, salvation. A great person, the Lord Jesus Christ. A great striving, Jacob wrestling with the Lord. And a great blessing, the Lord changed his name, Son of God, Israel.